Track 4, Wild About Norfolk. From a childhood rooted in Norfolk nature to president of its wildlife trust, meet naturalist and writer Patrick Barkham.
If our wildlife and wild places were all in Patrick Barkham's gift, the green shoots of recovery might be trickling and then surging around the globe as a tide of hope pushed back against the fear of what our future might hold. Well, luckily for Norfolk, the future of at least some of our most precious landscapes and wildlife is in the care of Patrick and people like him. Patrick is the new president of the Norfolk Wildlife Trust, NWT, which looks after nature reserves ranging from Royden Common in the west to Martham Broad in the east, and from tiny Kay Cliffs at East Runton on the north coast to Thetford Heath in the south. It also has the nation's oldest wildlife trust reserve at Cly, and the smallest, a single tree in Hethel. We meet at Foxley Wood in the heart of rural Norfolk, a reserve that Patrick's known almost all his life and which was saved for the county and posterity by the Trust with Patrick's ecologist and conservationist father at the helm of the campaign. We're surrounded by trees, wrapped in what could be age-old woodland. Further along the path, we walk into woods which have been here 1,000 years or more. But right here, in a glade where an intense wintry sun has set everything to shimmer, the rich mixed woodland of oak and ash, silver birch and guelder rose, hazel and sallow, blackthorn and hawthorn, is younger than me, younger than Patrick. 10 years ago, Patrick came here with his twin baby daughters and saw the woodland his father had saved taking root again. As soon as the twins were born, I came here to Foxley with the double buggy, said Patrick. The new babies took root in the family as the new trees grew. Now the new trees have grown high. Their branches and the ground beneath are rich with wildlife too. Foxley Wood is reclaiming its land. Foxley Wood was mentioned in the Domesday Book. It's Norfolk's largest ancient woodland, but the trees here were rooted up and burned in the 1960s. Said Patrick. The glorious patchwork of trees and bushes, rich with wildlife from the leaf mould of 1,000 autumns on the forest floor, up to the new spring growth in the canopy, was replaced by a monoculture of non-native pines. Sunlight could not penetrate. Patrick describes how part of the forest was cleared, sprayed with herbicide, and turned into a Forestry Commission plantation. It was this land which John Barkham saw in the 1970s and knew could be saved, and which has rewilded itself as nature takes back its own. The magic in the soil was still there, said Patrick. His father, a lecturer in environmental science at the University of East Anglia, knew that the desolate monoculture of the plantation could be transformed and the dense and overgrown ancient woodland alongside it could be restored. It's called derelict coppice, explained Patrick. For centuries it had been a resource for local people, taking hazel sticks for building their wattle and daub cottages, allowing pigs to forage the undergrowth for acorns, using oak in leather tanning. Branches of Foxley oaks helped power Norwich's shoe industry. When woodland is coppiced, thin upright sticks of new growth emerge from a base which might be centuries old. Once again, the remaining ancient woodland is being coppiced, and Foxley Wood is reaching outwards. The Trust has been able to take over a huge neighbouring farm field, and it too will be left for the jays and squirrels to bury acorns, which will become the oak trees of the future, alongside the other 350 species which have moved back across to Foxley's restored woodland. It's natural regeneration, said Patrick, and this is what we should be doing more of. Nature finds a way. It just wants to grow. Nature is the gift which keeps giving. Foxley's not just an amazing place for wildlife, it's also storing carbon. And no one was thinking about carbon or mental health when it was saved, but now people are coming here to help anxiety and depression. It's enriching us all. Talking to experts is often exhilarating, and Patrick is one of those gifted naturalists who can transform the pleasant shades of green and brown that I see in a hedge or a tangle of woodland into individual and amazing living things, simply by naming them. A series of swooping cries from above draws his eye to five birds circling in the bright blue sky. And suddenly, they're not just birds, but four buzzards and a peregrine falcon. This ability to name and understand a plant from its leaf, or a bird from its call, or a mammal from its footprint, is a naturalist's superpower, a key to another dimension. It's a dimension we all need to understand better, so that we can all value it properly and help halt its decline. And yet, Patrick's not cast down by the pressure the natural world is under. Instead, he's enthused by the changes that are already allowing nature back into our landscapes and our lives. The restoration of Foxley Wood was a forerunner of the kind of rewilding that many farmers are now trying. The aim is to link up our isolated nature reserves and green spaces seething with wildlife along corridors of meadow or hedge or riverbank or woodland. Plants and animals can then spread out. Creatures aren't stranded in islands of habitat. Seeds and butterflies can move through, said Patrick. Let's create more. We're not going to take prime farmland. With regenerative farming, you can have a good business and care about the land. He admires the Norfolk farmers who embrace nature alongside food production. My boyhood best friend is a farmer, said Patrick. I totally believe in working with farmers and not against them. The 1980s were a low point, and since then things have improved so much. A new generation are farming in a different way. Patrick spent much of his childhood in the wild places of Norfolk. He grew up near Reefham and Foxley Wood and spent holidays at home near Hunstanton. We rented a big flat in a house by the pines where the North Sea merges into the Wash, and I spent wonderful holidays there when I was a kid, said Patrick. There are dunes and mud flats and beach and wildflowers in the summer and birds in the winter and that lovely sense of space and peace. That's where I fell in love with butterflies. My dad could name every species of bird and every plant. He seemed to be a wildlife superman. But he didn't have superpowers with butterflies. We learned about them together. We had this mission to go out and find the brown Argos. They also regularly looked for the purple emperor butterfly in Foxley, its last known habitat in Norfolk. The purple emperor is the most charismatic of all the British butterflies, said Patrick. It's the second biggest after the swallowtail of Norfolk, and is a shimmering iridescent purple. It disappeared from Foxley Wood last, and then was extinct in the whole of East Anglia. Every July, when purple emperors had once flown over Foxley, he and his dad used to search the woods in the hope that they had returned, but they never saw one. And then, 10 years ago, purple emperor butterflies began being seen in East Anglia, and finally, Patrick saw one in Foxley, and he has every year since. Patrick's acclaimed first book, The Butterfly Isles, focused on his quest to see all 59 British breeds of butterfly in a single summer. The next, Badgerlands, was called A Must-Read for All Britain's Naturalists by Chris Packham. Coastlines and Islander were lyrical journeys around some of the most remote parts of the country, and almost as soon as his twin girls were born, he began Wild Child, focusing on how being immersed in nature can help children grow up healthier and happier. After his own rural childhood in Norfolk, Patrick went on to study at Cambridge University and then trained as a journalist with The Guardian, where he specialises in writing about the natural world. He worked in London and Australia and was dreaming of a return to Norfolk when he met his wife, who is also from Norfolk. So, did Patrick and Lisa meet on a Norfolk nature reserve? They did not. "We met at a party in Brixton," said Patrick. "I'd been in London for 10 years and was looking to come home. Lisa had been away for about 4 months and was not looking to go straight back." But eventually, they were both ready to return to Norfolk, and they now live in Hoveton, with 10-year-old twins, Millie and Esme, and 8-year-old son, Ted. All three children began their formal education in the forest at the Dandelion Forest School near Elsham, which Patrick loved so much that he became a weekly volunteer. Today, the children go to the village school with a day a week outside in forest school. Patrick is eloquent on the joys of both. He would love to see more green spaces for all children to play with everyone, whether growing up in the countryside, town or city, living just a short walk from mini reserves. "I grew up in a house which backed onto Bouton Common. It's just a little piece of green. There are lots of these in Norfolk, little bits of wild land that people don't really know about. I think everyone should be able to access nature, not just on a day trip to somewhere like here at Foxley, but somewhere for children to ride their bikes and mess about in a stream. I'm really keen to show people that Norfolk's nature is for everyone. And no matter what your background, how much you know about wildlife or where you live, you will be welcome on Norfolk Wildlife Trust's reserves. I think sometimes people are a little intimidated about visiting a nature reserve because they feel they don't know enough about nature, and parents worry their children will be bored or they won't be able to help them identify the birds and plants. But it doesn't matter. Nature is this amazing free source of fun, solace and wonder, and none of us are experts, but we can all enjoy it. I think now after the lockdowns, a lot of people are coming afresh to nature and discovering it anew, and this is brilliant, and I welcome them and every other beginner in nature." Patrick said he feels hugely honoured to be made president of the Trust, which has been part of his life for as long as he can remember. "I will do everything I can to help NWT protect wildlife, both on nature reserves and beyond them, so we can all enjoy the great benefits of a nature-rich Norfolk, at a time when we need a wilder world more than ever," he said. When we look at how we want Norfolk to be in the future, if we look at North Norfolk, how many motorways are there in North Norfolk? How many out-of-town shopping centres? How many nuclear power stations? And which is the wealthiest place? Which is where everyone wants to spend time? I really believe that nature enriches us all, and I mean that in monetary terms as well as spiritual. It's easy to be really despairing, but the only antidote is local action and to live more in harmony with nature. As we finish our walk, we see a young ash tree, prematurely leafless, its branches gaunt and dead from ash dieback. But even this does not faze Patrick. "At first, the disease seemed terrible," he said. "But the dead wood provides food for beetles, and fungus grows on it, and woodpeckers come and feed. A guelder rose is growing up it. We get very wound up about a lot of environmental problems, but the answer is in nature. We just have to look after nature, and it will sort out the problems for us. We need to help it flourish, and then we can flourish too."